because where we live now, we've been there for since 2000, and it was soon after we moved in there that they moved from the Maritimes to Peterborough, and we're just so grateful to have Don and Marty as part of our fellowship here, and I call him our resident preacher. And we're just so grateful to have you here, Don, and share God's word with us this morning. Come and do that now.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Everett. I'm also thankful to Everett. He helped us find a place to live when we came here. So that was a real help. So I still remember that, and we lived in that same zone, as he said. So it's a wonderful place to start. Wonder what God wants to do in our lives this morning. We're all unique. We have different situations, come from different weeks. Some of you might be stressed out. Some of you are relaxed. But God has something for each one of us. And I don't know what your week's been like. Maybe it's cloudy. Maybe it's a blur, right? But God loves us. And as we've seen in his power, he has overcome. But we want to be able to overcome through him whatever is in front of our path. And just to honor him. And so let's just ask the Lord to quiet our hearts, work in our hearts, prepare our hearts for whatever it is he wants to share with us. God, we're here. We thank you for what a glorious day. Just your kindness to us by giving us this kind of day. We thank you. But Father, we know that there's a lot bigger issue than just the day, the weather. It's really what is our relationship with you and what do you want to do in us and through us. You care about us. Each one in this room, each child in the Sunday school, each little one in the nursery, you care about each one. You love each one. And Father, our desire is that we'll just be in tune with you, that you can do whatever might distract us, whatever might hurt us, whatever might be bugging us, whatever it is, that we can just, by your Spirit, through your word, tune in to you. And that my words would be consistent with your word and would accomplish your will. Only you can do that. We realize you have to do that if it ever gets done. And so right now we just humble ourselves, we bow in our hearts, and ask you to have your way in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. I was thinking of a young boy I met. Some of you know I had the privilege to do a little tour recently, and a young boy, he was the only young guy amidst of all us old creatures, right? He was 11 years old, and his first name, he had this long name, Edward James, and then he had this great English last name. His parents were from, well, they actually live in Japan right now, but they're from England. And so when I saw his name, you know, just stretched out on this paper, I thought, now that is really, that what a heritage, right? Do you get this cool name? You're from England, and this name really sounds English. It's Baron. It's like, I'm the ruler of the castle, right? And I'm thinking, this is my kind of guy. I want to rub shoulders with him, right? Anyway, what a heritage. Now, I don't know what your last name is. Some people say, where does your name come from? I'm not quite sure. I think we snuck in the state sometime back. And anyway, what a heritage, you know? What kind of heritage do we have? You know, there was a heritage. A group of people had this outstanding heritage. Now, when we would say it today, we may not think it's that big of a deal, but it was an awesome deal from God's standpoint to them. And it was, they were able to call themselves Jewish. Now, I know in our day, that is almost held in disdain by many people. But it was not the case when God called them out and called them through Abraham. They had this amazing heritage. was her attitude about having a great heritage, a big start, great start? Well, let's look at that, because it has something to say to us. Wherever we start, God has something to say to us in this passage, and we can learn from them both their advantage and their mistakes. Now, if you'll turn with me, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 2, and I'm going to drop down to verse 17. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. Now, you may think this doesn't relate to you, but it's really relevant to each of us. If we have to think through hard enough, though, to get the principles. You know, when you're in a biblical passage, God has principles for us. It may not always be direct, because most of us are probably not Jewish, right? But it still has a biblical principle that has a plug-in to our life. But we have to think about it and let God teach us through his word. Verse 17, Romans 2. But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law. And I just stopped there for the moment. If you bear the name Jew. Now, again, in our time, that's almost held in disdain by many. I mean, they're hated by many, many countries, especially in the Middle East. But to them and to God, he called out these. He had a special place for this people. And they realized that. They were Jewish. He was, to be called a Jew was something to be thankful for. It was something that they were proud of. And adding to that, and this is part of what gives emphasis to that, and rely upon the law. So they have this name, they have this heritage, and a big part of their heritage is that God uniquely selected this people to give his law to and through. So they had this amazing privilege. You know, we pick up our, if you went to the bookstore and you bought your Bible or you ordered online or whatever, you get your Bible, you know, we kind of think, well, this is, you know, this is kind of a North American book. You know, I mean, we're kind of stuck on ourselves, right? But it's a Jewish book. It's a Jewish book. And the Old Testament was given to the Jewish people, and they relied on that. Now, if you remember what we've been talking about, and this is the hard part of Romans. When we're moving into Romans, this is the part that people, you know, you kind of close your ears to because it's not very pleasant. But God is saying, you guys, he's waving the flag, and he says, you guys, you got a real problem here. You got a real problem. And really, they didn't acknowledge their problem. And many of us don't acknowledge our problem. But he said, you know what? You have rebelled against me. And he says it several times, you're without excuse. You don't have a leg to stand on here. And I'm going to have to deal with that. And if you keep staying in your rebellion, I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm going to have to judge that. And of course, you know, we close our eyes. Our whole culture closes our ears and our eyes trying to ignore the reality that God might have something to say to us about what we're doing and where we're going. But God is, he's not saying this just to, you know, to beat us down and to wear us out and dump us in a ditch. He's trying to warn us because he loves us. But it's hard to get through a thick-headed culture. And to ourselves, oftentimes we're resistant to what God wants to say to us. And he comes and he's coming at us and he's dealing with, and he goes to this very thing of, I have to deal with the problem even of the people that I called my chosen people. They were really proud of what they were about. And they didn't think, they thought they had a pass. They thought, you know, go, you know, pass. You get a free pass to go. And you know, you're going to get to the end of this game of life, and you're going to win, baby. You're going to win. That's what they thought. But the problem is, that wasn't where the game was going. That wasn't where life was going. And he's trying to wake them up. And they were complacent, though. They thought, well, because of my heritage, Because I'm such a cool dude and I come from such a cool, you know, group of people, I get a pass. There's not going to be any judgment for us. No problem with us. All those other guys. Yeah, all those other cultures, all those other countries. Now, they got a problem. We don't got one. He's trying to wake them up. But they were complacent. As one says, imagining complacency that the mere fact of possessing the law gave them security against God's judgment. And notice, not only did they have the law, they had this, the Old Testament, and they boast in God. Now that was something really, that was a legitimate reason to boast. Because the one true God and all the cultures around them were involved in idolatry. And you know, they run off to Moloch. Well, let's sacrifice your kids, right? That's one thing they did. And these other idolatrous countries, and they had all these pagan idols. And the Jewish had the one true God. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And so they had something to be thankful for. The problem is, it turned into pride that blinded them. You know, pride's a blinding thing, isn't it? In verse 18, notice what it says. And know his will and approve the things that are essential. Because they had God's book, they had insight into what God was doing. That's huge. You know, sometimes people go to fortune tellers and they think, oh, you know, what's going to happen? Well, they mumble jumble and, you know, you pay them a little something and, you know, you go on your way. And it's so mumble jumbled, it could be anything, right? But the Jewish people had a real insight. They knew where things were and where they were going. They had something to be thankful for. The problem is they were prideful. But notice they were able to approve the things that are essential. One version, the New King James, says things that are excellent. The Jews were able to know God's will and approve, to have insight into things that were really excellent. Think about life, we need to know. I mean, the absolute essence, the things we need to know about life, like who made us and what went wrong and where are we going? I mean, those are the questions people are grappling with in our world. They don't know where, they don't know who they came from, they don't know where they got, and they don't know why they're struggling with all these problems, and they have not a clue where this thing is going, except it does not look good. They know that much. But they don't know where it's going. But the Jewish people had insight from God's word. They knew. They had insight. They had, above all the cultures that were around them, they had a clue. They had God's insight into what's going down. And they obviously were instructed. That was one of the things they were supposed to do in the law. You know what? Isn't it awesome we have these little kids? I just love going, you know, in fellowship time, looking parents, you know, they're tired, and the kids are running around, you know, it's so good. I'm a grandparent, I get a rest. But anyway, they're all running, all the kids are running around, and they're holding them on their shoulder, you know, these little, beautiful little kids, you know. But one of the things the Jewish people did, and we should do this too, is pass on truth to our kids, right? You know, you say, oh, what a cute little boy, cute little girl, you know. But then they get older and say, now we don't do that because I want to survive, right? We don't do that, and we're trying to teach them principles, right? How to get through life, how to grow up, how to be wise, how to obey your daddy, whatever. You're trying to teach them principles. Well, the Jewish people had instruction, and they were trying to pass on the principles to their children of God's word. And this was a big deal. What a wonderful advantage a child has to have parents who instruct them in the things of God, the things that will last forever. So the Jewish people had a lot of advantage. Obviously, they were Jewish. They were blessed by God. That nation uniquely was blessed by God. And one reason you might even think, you know, people who hate them, why are they still around? Why are the Jewish people still around? It's because God cares about them, right? You know, people might say, you know, and think of all the people who have tried to take out the Jewish people. And I said this last week. I went to the Holocaust Museum in Israel. And, you know, Hitler was going to take, it was the final solution, right? It was the final solution. We're taking those people out. And 6,000 6 million, I mean. But they didn't succeed. The Nazis did not succeed. Why? Because God has a plan for them still. He has a purpose. And so the Jewish people think, man, we're Jewish. And they had the law. The law had been passed on to them. And one writes, God chose the Hebrew people to bear his word to the rest of the world. And that's so true. The Jewish people, the scribes, were so precise and so careful. They were given God's word. They knew it was God's word. And they would, these scribes would meticulously write it out, write out the Hebrew. They would meticulously write it out. That was their life work. Why do you have an Old Testament? Because God used those scribes to meticulously, I mean meticulously, write this out. You know, you didn't have a photocopier. You didn't have a printing press. But God used these scribes to meticulously write down the word of God. And that eventually led to our book, the English translation of the Old Testament. It's amazing what God did. Amazing, this book that we have. Well, the Jewish people were the head start on this thing. They had God's book. And they thought, though, this is where the jump-off point into a wrong thinking landed them. They thought, because we're Jewish, because we have God's book, we get a pass. God smiles on us all the time. No problem. Sin, no big deal. That's where they were dead wrong. They had God's word, but they didn't clue into God's will for them. The Jew did have a tremendous advantage, but the advantage did not lead to advancement for most of them. You know, we can have a big advantage. Think of the little story of the tortoise and the rabbit, right? And the hare. Remember the race? Were you there? Did you see the race, right? Well, the rabbit, he obviously had a huge advantage over that slow turtle dude, right? The slow turtle dude. He doesn't know, right, that's right. Who won the race? The slow turtle dude did, right? The rabbit had all the advantage, but he lost. There's a lot of people in life that have tremendous advantage who are losing. The Jewish people, in large measure, do not know their God. They are losing. Many people in North America who have had opportunity to go to a church, they still have not clued in to what God has for them. They, at present, are losing. God says, I love you. Wake up. He does not want us to lose. And he's trying to wake us up. Think of all the advantage we have. Now, I know we can all, you know, depending on kind of your personality, you know, some people are, you know, they wake up in the morning, they're positive about everything, right? I didn't get any sleep. Oh, that's great, right? Well, some people, you know, they wake up and no matter what happens, it was terrible. It was awful. Oh, what a terrible, oh, that was bad news, right? And their whole life, you know, whatever it is, we have tremendous advantage. I mean, just think, even to live in this part of the world, isn't it pretty cool? I'm really glad I'm not on the East Coast in the States right now. I just really like sunshine, not a lot of water flooding in on my house, right? But anyway, think of all the advantages we have. Here you're sitting in a comfy zone. I know it's bored and you're ready to leave. But anyway, you're still comfy zone, you know. No, nobody's running in and trying to arrest us. You know, you've actually got a book. Most of you got it might be on your iPad, but or your phone. You got a Bible. You know, all of it, we got tremendous privilege. But you know what? We can have tremendous opportunity and not make any advancement. And God has said, Jews, wake up! And he's saying the same thing to us. He wants us to wake up. You know, I know I had a great, great privilege. I had two parents that loved each other, loved us. My brother and I, raised on a farm, which I thought was, you know, then it was kind of boring, but now I'm thinking, man, that was great. If you're raised on a farm, you think, man, your dad send you to work again? You know, yeah, right, slave labor. But anyway, it was a great start, right? Advantage. Well, what am I doing with it? You can have all the opportunities in the world and miss. This is probably totally irrelevant, but I remember seeing the daughter of Elvis Presley. All the money she inherited, all the money, millions of dollars, she's broke. Whoa, I would have liked to have had a little, you know, all that money. How do you even spend that much money? I'm not sure. But tremendous advantage, broke. A lot of people have spiritual advantage and are spiritually broke. Now, this gets us to the attitude issue. This is the where the arrogance really blinded them. Notice verse 19. Verse 19 of chapter 2, Romans. Okay. And are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind. Confident. Well, arrogantly confident within the context of this passage. That you yourself are a guide to the blind. Who's the blind? Well, us poor Gentile dudes. All those other people that are not Jewish. You can help them out. You can help us out. We can't see where we're going. There's a problem. Now, I'm going to just turn over there if you want. I'm going to go to Matthew 15 for just a moment just to see what kind of problem we have. Matthew 15, verse 1, and I read some of it to you just for time's sake. Then some of the Pharisees, now you got the Jewish, the, you know, the really Jewish religious people. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, verse 2, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, I asked my kid that when he was little, but anyway, why do they not wash their hand when they eat their bread? And he answered and said, why do you yourselves, Pharisees talking to, transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? And then he goes on and elaborates. He nails them on how they're breaking the law to support their man-made tradition. Now, verse 7, you hypocrites, he says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Oh, man. That's what religion is really good at. Taking spiritual stuff and then coming up with a man-made idea and calling it God's idea. And that's what they were doing. It wasn't God's idea, it was their idea, but they called it God's idea. And they thought they were so advanced. And then, without going into the details, notice verse 12. Then the disciples came and said to Jesus, do you know, that, you know, like this, the light bulb going on, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Oh, they're offended. Yes, offended. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And that's what was happening. The Jewish dudes, the spiritual dudes that really were not in tune with the Lord, were like, oh, let me take you, let me lead you, let me, you know, and they fall both into the pit. They both are lost. But the Jewish guys thought, man, they had it together. They had all the insight. And their pride blinded them even more. A light to those who are in darkness, spiritual darkness. Well, one thing we know, the world is in darkness. We understand that. But they thought they had the light. And of course, they had the word, but they didn't understand God. They didn't understand his word. Verse 20, a corrector of the foolish. They were more than willing to go around and tell people, you know, you're stupid. You got it wrong. They were more than willing to say, we're superior to you guys, you dummies. The corrector of the foolish. And of course, the Gentiles, we without God are foolish. We don't have it together. A teacher, and he goes on, elaborating on their mindset, a teacher of the immature. Well, they would pass a law on, thinking that these poor old Gentiles or these other people not in their circle, they just didn't have it. They were the dummies class two. And so they were going to straighten it all out. But their boast blinded them to their own personal need. They themselves were blind, trying to lead the blind. And God is trying to wake them up because he cares about them. And of course, the same thing can be true. You don't have to be Jewish to be blind. We all start out blind in life, spiritually. And God wants to waken us up. Now notice the accusation. Verse 21. Back in our passage, Romans 2, verse 21. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? Now, he's trying to bring conviction to the Jewish people. And the Jews were notorious for this, but they called it business. Right? Oh, that's a good deal when you rip somebody off. When I was in the airport, we were trying to fly home, and we were there an extra 5 hours. Delay, you know, and you kind of die and you flip over and die again. But so I tried to get, you know, I was just trying to figure out what to do with all this time. So I thought I need some water because, you know, they always say don't get dehydrated on the flight. So I went to get some water. Well, this Israeli guy was speaking kind of Hebrew English, more Hebrew than English, right? And so I'm saying I need some water, right? And I got water. I'm sure it was double the price, right? I knew I was getting taken, but I was so thirsty. So he made some money, and I got quenched. But I knew I was taken. You see, you know, now it's not just Jewish people that do that, right? Oh, I'm a businessman. We got to think about business. How many people have been cheated by a, quote, Christian dude? Right? See, Paul is shining the light on, and the light doesn't just shine on the Jewish people, it shines on all of us. And then he said in verse 22, you who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? I thought, oh man, this one individual, and I'm not going to mention names, this is some time back, so rigid, you know, and you know, all these principles and all these high standards, you know, and preaching it, brother, you know, on and on and on. And then I found out later his life is clouded by all these accusations of sexual impropriety. May God help us. May God protect us. It's a dangerous area. I understand that. May God protect us. One thing I appreciate so much about Billy Graham's testimony, obviously one of his four principles, I picked this up in one of the little short, one of his four principles when they started their ministry was moral integrity. Thank the Lord. And he finished his race with moral integrity. May we do the same. Who abhor idols, do you rob temples? What are they talking about? They didn't rob the temple. But when somebody did rob the temple, they brought it to these Jewish dudes and they would turn around and sell it for a profit? Don't you think that's a little bit like, how do you think the people making the idols felt? That Jewish dude made a ton of money off my idol that somebody stole. Gave to him, he's a middleman, turns it around for profit. Do you steal from idols? You see, it's so easy to talk one thing and live another. You who boast in the law. And of course, that was their big deal. We got the law. You who brag about having the law through your breaking the law. Through your breaking the law, you dishonor God. You dishonor God. the whole issue of hypocrisy. Saying one thing, doing another. Now, I found these. I thought they were so cool. But I dare not put them on. Liam. Would you just demonstrate that for us? Just stand up so everybody can enjoy the moment. Now let's say this. What is hypocrisy? Well, it's when you're trying to be something that you're not. Now, in the word actually came from, Liam, I hate you to take those off. It came from an actor in that time in the Greek, and when they would act, what would they do? They would put on a mask to be something they were not, but to appear that they were someone else. Now, the Jewish people were hypocrites. They were putting on the mask, pretending to be one thing, when in reality they were something else. They were pretending to be the cool dudes, the super cool dudes, you know, the superior dudes, when they were not. They were pretending that we got it all together with God and you guys don't, but that was a false thought. They were totally derailed, but they didn't know it. You know, sometimes people who are involved in spiritual things are more deceived than people who are not. Because this principle is not just for Jewish people. This principle is for all of us. We can play a game, and what do? We dishonor God. There are people who go to church. There are people in churches around the country who somebody else knows what they really did during the week, and they're thinking, you got to be kidding. Now, the first application, the direct application of this passage is these Jewish people were playing the game, but they weren't saved. They were pretending to have their relationship right with God, but they were not right with God. And their need was salvation. Their need was to turn to Christ. And you know what? The application for us? We can be in a church in North America, not Jewish at all, but a church in North America playing the game. But we don't know the Savior. And God says, I love you. Wake up. Take off the shades. Realize who you are. Your need for Christ is so great. Or the hypocrisy, and by a secondary application, comes home to each of us in this realm. Let's say you really know the Lord Jesus. You've really trusted Christ. You realize you needed Christ. You trusted Christ maybe as a young child, a teenager, or an adult. You've trusted Christ. You know that He alone is the only one that can save you. You've trusted Christ, but you're not living tight with the Lord. And the way you handle maybe a job opportunity, maybe a decision made at work, maybe a situation in a classroom, and you're playing the game. You're a phony. And somebody else knows. They know you say you're a Christian. And you may well be a Christian. But they're looking at your life and say you are inconsistent with your Christian statement. I was thinking back. A man, he went to our church. He was, I had no reason to not think he was a Christian. He was a farmer, hardworking farmer, had a beautiful farm. Lots of acreage, irrigated land, beautiful. And I remember I also had another friend, and his dad loaned the first farmer an implement. I'm not sure what kind of implement it was, something you pull behind a tractor, and I don't know if it was a disc or a one-way or whatever it was. But he borrowed this from my friend's dad, and he used it. You know, it's common for farmers to share equipment. Both Christians. But the man who borrowed the equipment, my friend, my young friend, who was his dad, it belonged to him, he said, you know what? When he brought back that implement, it was all busted up. And He said nothing. He made no apologies. He didn't repair it. Nothing. He just dumped it in the lot and drove off. And what do you think? How would you respond to that? Would you trust that man? You say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with them, right? And we give, you know what? We give unbelievers some real stuff to work with at times when we're not growing in the Lord. When we're playing the game but not living the life. And what God's saying to us, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Now, maybe your need is salvation. You've never come to Christ. You know, you're sitting in a church, but you know your relationship. You've never trusted Christ. God says, I want to meet your need. Trust Jesus to be your Savior. And for the rest of us, those who know the Lord Jesus, what he says, our need may be to be honest that our walk is not what it should be. You know, I think, how do you deal with hypocrisy? You have to have honesty. You know, none of us got it together perfectly. Even if you've been a Christian for years, you don't got it together perfectly. We're still growing. But honesty is a critical part to keep growing. So that hypocrisy, we're not putting up those shades and trying to look cool, dude, man, when we're not living the life. God says, I love you too much to play the game. Wake up! Either trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, or look to him to be your strength, to live this life the way he designed it to be lived, so that we will get the most out of it and God will get the glory through it. Let's pray. God, we need help. There might be someone here that has never trusted Christ. They've never realized, they've never faced their need. This might be a wonderful day just to trust him as their personal Savior. We pray that would happen. Father, for those of us who are believers and are struggling, we all struggle, help us be honest with ourselves. May we not play the game. May we not be pretend godly Christian. May we be a growing Christian. Help us be honest with you, with ourselves, and with one another. May honesty wipe out hypocrisy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.